Last week, Pastor Sam said, as he began to read the words from Malachi, "Hey, this doesn't sound very Christmassy. We want the peace on earth, goodwill for all people part. When did this story go south?" Last week, Pastor Sam asked that question. When did the story go south? We only get these 4 weeks of Advent, so we really want the gospel story, the starry night in the stable. We want the jingle bells and the hot cocoa and the mission in lights. We want it all. Happy New Year. Why the prophets interrupting our Advent? Sure doesn't sound very Christmassy. Does anybody care about Zephaniah? It's a question I asked this week because I'm going to tell you the truth. I didn't care much about Zephaniah. Why Zephaniah? 3 little chapters. Has anybody in here ever had a Bible study on Zephaniah? You know it was in your Bible, right? Maybe. If you had to take a Bible quiz, maybe. Anybody ever had a Bible study on these 3 little chapters? Maybe it's 4 or 5 pages total. Why Zephaniah? So I entered it in the search this week. Does anyone care about Zechariah? Zephaniah, Zephaniah, Zephaniah. See, I didn't care about Zephaniah either this week. Does anyone care? And I found this guy who says, "I love Zephaniah. Zephaniah is a Florida hurricane, a Texas tornado, a Mississippi River flood, a Minnesota snowstorm, and a California earthquake all wrapped into one. I love Zephaniah," he said. Makes you a little worried about this guy, doesn't it? Like if he's out there in the desert stockpiling things. Am I the only one who thought that? "I love Zephaniah," he said. And by the way, when you read it, you wonder if God loves God's people at all, was his conclusion. "I love the book, but I don't think God loves God's people after I read the book." Why is it we're reading from the prophets during these weeks? Is it just that your pastors are cranky and we think we should feel condemnation? Actually, we're staying in line with Christian tradition a few hundred years after Jesus, 300, 400 years. Early Christians began reading the prophets during Advent. In fact, they would open the gospel story and insist that they move back a few pages, and along with the Bethlehem story, that the prophets' voices would also be heard. Early Christians insisted that for some reason in the month of December, the images from the prophets must be good for something. The early Christians insisted that we bind these up together so while we feel far from the Bethlehem stable, we are right on top of the Bethlehem story. The prophets insist they be bound together. It doesn't feel very Christmassy. My father was the master of bungee cords. You know what a bungee cord is? That stretchy thing? Yes. He had them in every color and every size. I don't know why. It was one of his things. Loved them. You could go into the garage and pick any bungee cable you wanted for any project, large or small. This week, I went into the garage. We found one in our garage, at least. We used a bungee cord, to put our Christmas tree on top of the car so it wouldn't slide off as we drove home, right? Because trees don't like to stay on top of the slick part of the car. You take a bungee cord and you bind together two things that don't want to be together. The early Christians insist that we bind together the gospel story in Bethlehem with the baby Jesus and the voices of the prophets. Why? Zephaniah is a minor prophet, not because his message is tiny, but his space in Scripture is short. Not because his message is unimportant. What is it we're looking for at Christmas from the voice of the prophet? Because, to be candid, it feels like an irritant got into our Advent. An irritable irritant. So far from the Bethlehem story, it seems. Zephaniah stands firmly planted in his world, and he's watching his world crumble. The kingdom in the north has already fallen, and they've been taken away. He's in the south in Judah, and he sees it coming. It'll be a few years in the future, but he can already tell that calamity is coming. And before it's over, the people who supposedly belong to God will have their arms bound and their families broken and their faith traditions smashed, and they'll be dragged across hundreds of miles of the desert, and they'll be put into captivity in the city of Babylon, and they'll be forced to stay. The prophet can see it up in the future, and he begins to speak about it, firmly planted in his own world. He begins to cry. Prophets, they can see the trees, and then they see the forest, and then they see beyond. And you hear the story that he's telling, Zephaniah, and you wonder, is he talking about 600 BC or 2015 today? Because most people think the world he describes sounds a lot like our world today. So he prophesies. Before this is all over, he says, you'll all be longing to go home, longing for a homecoming. Prophets who look down, see the world, look out, see the world, look beyond, see the world, tell us what they imagine God is saying to us. From Zephaniah this morning, I find these three movements. Zephaniah asks us to look within. Then he asks us to look beyond or around. And then Zephaniah asks us to look beyond. Look within, look around, look beyond. The prophet does all three of these things. Would you say them with me? Look within, look around, look beyond. You're not all doing it yet. Look within, look around, look beyond. Let's do it again. Look within, look around, look beyond. It's a movement that the prophet will insist upon. It doesn't even have to go in this order. In fact, sometimes we'll look around the world and we'll see what's happening in the world, and it will cause us to look within once again. Looking within was what Pastor Sam spoke about last week when Pastor Sam spoke about the refiner's fire, that sometimes we're the ones that need the conversion. We need to purge things. That's the looking within movement. Some days are the looking within movements. Some days are the looking around, and some days are the looking beyond. Listen, tomorrow we'll gather for a memorial here for the Brown family, for our dear Velda. Tomorrow we'll be looking beyond. We're looking for that day. On Tuesday, when the Culver family gathers here to celebrate the young life of Nick, they're not looking to today, they're looking beyond. We're looking for that great homecoming on Tuesday. We have had 6 deaths in about 10 days in this church family and community. Surprising deaths. A student on this side, a teacher on this side, are 2 of 6. Yes, evil is present. The prophet can look beyond and calls us all to a great homecoming. Today, I'm just pausing with the look around, looking around where we are. The prophet says we'll have to use our own eyes. It's the avatar scene. I see you, I see you, I see you. The prophet, Zephaniah, we put them all, see, I can't even keep them straight. Zechariah, we know a little more about, right? Zephaniah, we don't. And we read them all because not any one prophet has the whole picture. Zephaniah insists that we look around. When he looks around, I'm reading from chapter 1, around verse 10, he says, on that day, the Lord, a cry will go up from the fish gate. They're in the market where they pull the fish in from the Sea of Galilee, where they bring them in to sell them. In the marketplace, there will be a cry among the merchants and the fishermen, among the people who decide how much things will be bought and sold for. There'll be a cry, a wailing from the new quarter, a loud crash from the hills. Wail, you who live in the market district. All your merchants will be wiped out. All of you who trade with silver, you'll be destroyed. At that time, I'll be searching Jerusalem with lamps like a flashlight, looking behind and around and in crooks and crannies. I'll be looking for you with a flashlight to punish those who are complacent. Their wealth will be plundered, their houses demolished. Though they build houses, they will not live in them. And though they plant vineyards, they will not drink the wine. The prophet tells us God is watching for those of us who misuse our power. And by the way, in this little book of prophecy, it's not the pagans and the enemies out there, it's all of us in here. Those of us, like me, you, who misuse our power. Those of us who ignore, who turn a blind eye, who are complacent. Those of us who turn on God and then sometimes turn on each other. This prophet insists that we look around, that the well-being of the neighborhood be considered during Christmas time. We cannot have the Christ child and the "Oh, come, let us adore him" without necessarily. We must have then also bound together our worship of the Christ child and the well-being of our neighbors. The prophet says they come together, they're bound together, that there's solidarity here. This is difficult. The well-being that we hear, we've talked about this before here, that these are now we stories, not I stories. Now, we have to hear them in the first person plural, we and us. When we look around and see problems in the neighborhood and problems in the world, it's not their problem, his problem, or her problem, it's my problem and our problem. The prophet asks us to see and hear these stories as we stories. Now, this is hard in a selfie world. Would you agree? This is difficult work in a selfie world. We had all the Academy students stay with us at the 9:30 worship service. As I told them, they all know what a selfie is. It's the old people that sometimes have problems with a selfie. Did you read the story last year about the couple trying to take a picture of themselves doing a selfie and they got a little too close to the edge and fell over the edge of something? They were fine. Nobody died. But they don't know how to take selfies. We don't know where to look in the camera. Our selfies turn out funky. But it is a selfie world, more and more and more a selfie world. Solidarity is hard work, more and more difficult work when we live in a selfie world. Last year, 2014, here's a word that made it into the Collins English Dictionary, and it only made it into the dictionary because the word selfie we understand. If you understand the word selfie, then you know what the word photobomb means, right? Photobomb has a definition, let me read it to you, to intrude into the background without the subject's knowledge, to put yourself in a story that is not your own. That's what a photobomb is. We know what that is, correct? This word made it into the Collins English Dictionary last year because of this one picture. These are athletes in the front taking their selfie. They're athletes at the Glasgow game in 2014, about 600 athletes playing 17 different sports. Oh, yeah, you see the photobomb in the background there? See who that is? Her Royal Majesty, the Queen of England, who had no clue she was photobombing, who didn't even know what a photobomb was till she saw it in the dictionary. In a selfie world, solidarity is work. She actually belongs in the picture. Yeah, but she doesn't, because here's the challenge. In communities, in families, in communities, in societies, we all operate off of scripts, and the script tells us royalty and commoner. We get that. The script tells us, sometimes men and women, or older people and children, the script tells us the upper class and the lower class, or the poverty class. The script tells us light-colored skin goes here, dark-colored skin goes here. You see, we order our families and our communities and our society not based on logic, but based on power, Martin Luther King says. And power gone wrong, and this is what the prophet cares about. Where my power has gone wrong, I have to look around the world and take responsibility for it. If I want the Christ child, the story of Bethlehem, I must also have this part of the story. Where in the world has my power gone wrong? Where does the script need to be adjusted? The prophet wants us to know that it's more than passive waiting for the Christ child at Christmas. The prophet yanks and yells at us, pokes and prods at us, tears and tugs away, so we understand, I just can't have holiday according to me. Have holiday according to we. The demands are made on us. Look around, the prophet says. Look around. Towards looking around, then, what the prophet cares about is that everything I can see belongs to God. And what the prophets see is broken creation, broken men and women and broken faith traditions and broken ruling class, broken leaders who rule in the temple. The prophet sees it's all broken. It's been fractured. When I was growing up, the sign in the store said, you break it, you, right? Have you heard that? You break it, you buy it. Especially fragile, little, very expensive, ridiculous, trinkety things, right? My apologies if you like those things. I don't. My mother always said, your house looks so bare. Where are all your trinkets? I don't like them. It's easier on the dusty. You break it, you buy it, the store says. God says, it's broken, and you can't even buy it because it belongs to me. It's broken. Look around, see what's broken in the world. The prophet calls us, look around now. So we're looking. Look this week, friends. Look, in 2015, what appears to be broken in our world. I know, it's big. It's a lot. The world is dark and getting darker. So towards looking around and seeing something during Christmas when our to-do lists are overflowing, towards that, here's a couple of ideas. During your Christmas break, read a book you never would have read, a book about someone else's life. I'll give you a title. Read the book called Refugee Boy, written by Benjamin Zephaniah. Story about a boy whose parents are from two different African nations, and when civil war comes to their country, they decide to take their boy. They fly him to the United Kingdom. He doesn't realize they're going to drop him off and leave him there. And they go back home to try and figure it out. Read the book, Refugee Boy. An amazing story of what it's like to grow up in someone else's country with all the rumors and gossip about what must be wrong with your life. Read a book during Christmas that you wouldn't have chosen, except for you hear the prophet's voice saying, look around and see lives that are different from yours and mine. Watch documentaries. Hey, boy, millennials are doing this. You got Netflix, you got more documentaries than you know what to do with. Choose a documentary and then talk about it. I love spending time with my family because in our family of four, oh my word, the conversation goes deep and broad so quick. Two young adult kids who are watching documentaries, watching the world. You sit down and you think you're just eating a burrito, and before you know it, you wandered into human rights, like World War III. Beautiful. Do that with your table time during the holidays. Look around, Zephaniah says. Travel. When the girls were little, they asked us, why don't we have a bigger, prettier house? Our friends have bigger houses. Why don't we drive beautiful cars? Our friends drive better cars. Because we've chosen the extra money we could squeeze out of the budget, we travel. That's a family priority, to travel. If you went to Costa Rica on the mission trip with the Academy, you traveled. You saw life differently. Those of us who went in prior years, you've seen a little piece of life where people live very different than we do. If we wouldn't have traveled, I never would have been in Vietnam to go down underground in the caves that were dug so that residents in Vietnam could survive and live when the bombs came crashing down in the 1960s. Underground in these little tunnels that became their habitats, their homes, I couldn't even do it for more than 5 minutes. I had to come up and leave the tour because I was so claustrophobic. But I looked around and I saw something about the world I didn't know before. Travel. We'll see something different about the world. The prophet says, look around. Read some forced migration stories during the holidays. Very easy to find online, forcedmigration.net. You can start there. Read about hundreds and thousands of peoples from all over the world who have been required to abandon and move and leave. Read stories that are not our own. The prophet says, it's important we see all of this because a time is coming, that beyond, which we'll talk about next week. That beyond is coming. The beyond is coming when a reconciliation will happen. A homecoming will happen. All will be well with God's creation, way beyond. He says it this way in verse 15 of chapter 3. The Lord, the King of Israel, is in your midst. You will no longer fear evil. That's what the prophet is looking towards, a time and a place when none of us fear evil, a time and a place when we don't turn on each other, when we're not afraid of one another. You have to go through 2.5 chapters of terror with this prophet to get to that little place of hope, friends. And towards looking around in 2015, I want to read you a few words before we close today. This is a week I felt proud and humble to be an Adventist Christian. Where I see Adventist Christian leaders helping us look around and beyond. First, I want to read to you comes from our sister campus, Loma Linda University, when Dr. Richard Hart wrote to the campus family just a few days ago. You all know that that university is just within a mile or so of the shooting incident a week ago on Wednesday. Dr. Hart sent a message to the Loma Linda Health family. He said, "This was so close that we heard the sirens and the gunshots. We received the wounded and the grieving families. Many of us on our campus are victims. And perhaps the perpetrators walked on our campus and even enjoyed our fellowship. We will struggle for years to understand what went wrong in San Bernardino last week. So wrong that it would compel a couple to leave their 6-month-old daughter and carry out such carnage." Dr. Hart continues, "After the immediate reaction of disbelief and concern, there are follow-up questions that come to us. We ask things like, how did this happen? Could it have been predicted? Can it be prevented? Is it over? Will there be future risks?" These are all questions that deserve and demand answers, he says, "but it's important we guard against rumors, against broad recrimination, discrimination, accusations. This is not a country or a religion gone bad. Apparently, it's a misguided attempt at retribution. Because two people have Pakistani Muslim roots does not implicate either their country or their faith any more than any other mass killers implicate their own heritage." You following this? Dr. Hart says, "Jesus calls us to love one another as Jesus loves us. In times of crises, crises that divide us, turn us on each other, we have to remember to live by Jesus' words. May everyone know that you are my disciples because you have love for one another." That's our sister campus. Another email went out, another statement went out to the press this week. This one coming from our North American Division President, Dan Jackson. The reason I read these to you is because this is the guy we email when we're angry at our church. When we wish the church would not do stupid things and do things better, this is the guy who gets all of those emails, okay? This week, you can read it on the Huffington Post, December 9. Elder Dan Jackson, who represents Adventists all across North America, says, "To close the door to refugees cannot be an option. To welcome them by marking them with shame and suspicion is not acceptable. To incite fear based on prejudice, this is irresponsible. As followers of Jesus, we have to do more for the least in our midst. Make no mistake about it, we unequivocally condemn terrorist actions. We mourn and pray for families and victims everywhere. But to deny innocent women, children, and men who are fleeing from war and hunger and disease because of fear and prejudice is just as wrong." Fear, he's telling the world what Adventists believe. He says, fear is not an option for us. Wow. That's what the prophet said. There a time is coming when none of us will fear. So if we think the time is coming, the prophet says, live it right now. Fear is not an option. I suspect most of us this week don't have a grasp that can go that far because we're just barely getting by. We don't know how to solve all the crisis in the world. Some of these leaders go on to suggest, do you have a Muslim friend? This is a good week to make one. How about if we begin praying for a Muslim cleric or a mosque in our community? This would be a good week to do that. hey, if you can't do any of that, you can walk out these doors when we exit and pick up the food boxes. To look around is to see the people right here in our zip codes, the Christmas connection boxes. They're right outside the door. We need about 50 more families to take boxes today, 225 boxes to go out, because we look around and we can see in our neighborhood things are broken and there are families that won't have what they need to eat throughout the holiday. When you leave today, leave out this door, pull your car up around the truck, sign up, take some boxes, go meet some people in the community. It's a short demand on our time for the weekend. Because a reconciliation is coming, the prophet says. Why not make it today? Holidays is a great time for a reconciliation, friends. If you can't do any of these things, I bet you can identify one person in your family or in your friendship circle with whom you need to reconcile. Start small. Could you name one person? When we were in the taxi in Chicago a few years ago, the rainstorm came through, horrible thunder rain. Kirby and I jumped into a taxi cab. We only had to go 12 blocks. It was a downpour. We apologized to the taxi driver right away. So sorry, you're not going to make very much money off of us. He said, it's okay. Are you dentists? No, we're not. Why? Well, because if you were dentists, you would get a free taxi cab. Well, what's with dentists? Well, I just like them. That's weird. Okay, I've told you this part of the story a few years ago. I just never told you the rest of the story. I said, well, he's a scientist and I'm a cleric. I'm a clergy. He's a scientist, I'm a clergy. My father was a dentist. Will that get me anything? No. Well, he's a scientist. Will that get us anything? No. I'm clergy. No. Clergy, he said, clergy. What are you? Clergy. Are you a holy person? Are you a prophet? Are you spiritual? It sounds wrong to answer yes. Sounds wrong to answer no. I said, sorta. You're that? Then I have a question for you, cleric. He began driving us now slow. He's slowing down. We only have 5 more blocks to go. I have a question for you, cleric, as he looks in his rearview mirror and makes eye contact with me. Here's what's going on. You see, years ago, my brother at a family gathering, he insulted me in front of the whole tribe. There's a big group of us. He insulted me. He told lies about me. He brought shame on me. I said to my brother, you are never welcome in my house again. You leave my house. We're no longer family. I disown you. I do not call you my own. How long ago did this happen, taxi driver? Years ago. So for years, my brother has not been in my home. I have not been in my brother's home. So I get a phone call this morning from my niece. My niece has now grown up. She's getting married tonight. And she would like for me to come. Uncle, please come to the wedding. But I don't come where your father is. Uncle, that's ridiculous. You come to my wedding. So the taxi driver looks at me and says, cleric, I have a question for you. Should I go to the wedding? When is the wedding, I asked. 5 hours. You want to ask me to answer that question for you? Should you go to the wedding in 5 hours? I don't know you. I don't know your people. I don't know your language. I don't know your faith tradition. I'm honestly telling you, his world and my world are that far apart. You want me to tell you what you should do with your life in a few hours? He said, yes. Cleric, tell me. I said, you should go. Such an easy question. You should go. Are you sure? I am so sure. I thought you were going to ask me a difficult question. This is easy. You should go. Christmas is the perfect time for reconciliation. When the prophet and the Bethlehem stable are bound together like this, that's what reconciliation looks like, friends. May we all find this light in our dark world. Can we make a difference in 2015? We certainly can.